floor, the church down in the grove. Old time preacher man, preach about the promised land, not for a good thing. Old time preacher man, preach for the souls of man, preach my way. Down at the altar, all the sins will my own name prepare. I believe our God's the same today, same as yesterday. He loved the house of God, his Jewish wish to be within that country church, to preach and pray and sing. When he preached God's holy word, it made it seem so bad. What the modern church needs, a little love, what the old-time preacher had. Old-time preacher man, preach about the promised land, not for worldly fame. Old-time preacher man, preach for the souls of men, preach them my brain. Down at the altar rail, all my sins fell, my name prepared. I believe my God's the same today, he was yesterday. I believe my God the same today, he was yesterday.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you're here. I'm going to use the red one, and that way we can both get on the same page right there. Whoa, that was a little loud right there. I'm glad that you're here, and thank you for coming out. Take your Bibles, turn if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and you may want to turn me down. That's just a little bit hot for my voice. I like keeping people awake, but I don't want to blow the eardrums out, too. Here you go. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. And once you have found it, let's all stand as you read the Word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. And I hope that you'd come back tonight for the great evening service at 6 o'clock. You do what you can. Be here tonight. And let's make sure that we're in our place tonight. If you don't normally come on a Sunday night, I'd encourage you to come back. Every service has its own personality, has its own taste or its own flavor, just like you have breakfast, dinner, and supper, and every meal has a different flavor, a different taste. Likewise, every service has a different taste or a different flavor to help you grow in your spiritual life. I hope that you can come tonight for 6 o'clock. If you don't have anything planned, you come. If you do have something planned, cancel that and come anyway. And we'd love to have you come. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I want you to notice in verse 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I hope you listen to me this morning as I speak to you. I believe if you'll listen to me, I want to help some of you today. I'll help everybody if you listen to me, not to have some regrets in your life. Far too many times I hear all the time people talking about, "Boy, if I could do life all over again." I've got news for you. We can't do life all over again. We have one chance at this thing of life. And I want to speak tonight this morning on the subject. There are some things money cannot buy. There are some things money cannot buy. Father, I pray that you'd help me in these next few minutes to help your people. Speak to the hearts of thy people, I pray. Give me their hearts. Give me their attention. Let me help them. Let me give to them in the way that you gave it to me. And the same spirit, I pray that you impart it upon their hearts and their ears this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I need you to follow me carefully as I progress through this sermon, as a sermon is a progressive type of a sermon. In determining the value of something, you first of all must find out if it's possible to ever gain back that object once it's lost. If you could turn this one off, I think I'm getting feedback from that. I don't need that one. Just give me this one right here, and that's all I need. But first of all, in order to gain the value, to find the value of something, you need to find out if it's ever possible to gain back that object once it is lost. If that object cannot be purchased again, then that object becomes a precious commodity. Let me illustrate. I know people, I spent many years out in California. And when I was out there, you saw a lot of collector's cars out there because you didn't have the rust from the salt that they'd sprinkle on the roads. And about once a year in the town that I lived in, they'd have an antique car, just kind of like a fair or whatever, where all the old cars are coming to the town. Now, I enjoy seeing that, and you see that a lot of times, probably in the summertime. People get their old collector's cars out. Now, why are they collector's cars? They're collector's cars because those cars can't be bought again. The value, now if you used to go down to the store and buy that car, I mean, the truth is, that car probably today is probably worth more than the day that it was purchased. Why? Because that car can no longer be purchased again. For instance, I know people that buy baseball cards, and they'll get that little baseball card, and I don't know, I may be talking to some people right here that collect some of these things, but you buy a baseball card. Oh, that baseball card don't cost you a lot, but if you get the right card of the right player, and you save it, and that player accomplishes some great things, then all of a sudden, that card that only costs you a few pennies, now you can't buy that thing again, and now the price of that card becomes, it raises in extreme value, and because it can no longer be purchased again, and now it becomes very precious to that collector. I've seen people collect coins. My dad used to collect, he used to get a lot of wheat heads, and he'd tell me, he said, son, every time you get a wheat head, just give it to me, and he'd collect those coins, because that little wheat head, I don't think they're worth that much, though it's a penny, it now I think is worth 2.5-3 cents for one penny. It's an investment that somebody makes, but that little wheat head, that little coin, becomes valuable because now you can't get those again, or if there's a coin that has been misprinted or whatever, and they figure out about it, there's only so many of those coins, and if you happen to get that coin, I think recently the new quarters that went out, or the new dollar bills that they sent out in coin fashion, there was something missing on that coin, and so they said only so many of those coins got out, so everybody was trying to find that one coin because they knew it was no longer going to be printed that way. Therefore, that coin becomes more valuable. And why? Because it's something that is precious. It's something, you can't buy anymore. Therefore, money cannot buy anymore. And the value now becomes more precious. I think of people that collect stamps or people that collect relics of history. My dad, in his house, he had for quite a few years, he had an old Civil War sword. It was a dress sword. It's a Civil War sword, and it was given to him as a little boy, and he saved it throughout all the years. Now, that sword became valuable because you just can't buy the original Civil War swords, and they become a value because you can no longer purchase that commodity like you once used to purchase it. Now, just like if something cannot be bought again, it becomes very precious. Likewise, if something, though it cannot be bought again, but it can be restored, it now even becomes more valuable. But let me tell you what's even more precious than that. It's when you buy something that can no longer be purchased again, it can no longer be restored again, and once you use it, it can no longer get back, you can no longer get it back again. I would say that whatever that is, that becomes very precious. Why? Because you can't buy it. Once you buy it, you cannot restore it. Well, once you have it, you cannot restore it once you lost it. Once you lost it, you can never get it back. Therefore, whatever that thing is, that becomes very valuable to whoever has it. That's why you've got to take care of whatever that little commodity is that you have in life. Now listen carefully. Such is the case with time. Listen carefully. Once time is used, you can never have time back. Just like this morning, you're using your time. I think you're using it wisely. You're in church this morning. I think you're using your time wisely. But we can never have this service back right now. We can never have 11 o'clock back on Sunday of August the 5th, 2007. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, August the 5th of 2007 is gone. Now, because that time is gone, we had better understand once we have time, we better use that time wisely, because time is a very precious commodity that once it's used, you can never have it back again. So while you have it, you better use it to the best of its ability. The sad part is this. In today's world, we live in a society that wastes a lot of our time and causes us to have regrets that we shouldn't have. For instance, TV is a time waster. Why? You sit there, watch the screen, and it wastes time that you could be using that time for something else. Video games are time wasters. Cell phones are time wasters. You ever get around somebody, and all they know how to do is talk on that cell phone. They talk and talk and talk. And the person sitting right next to them, they can see face to face. They're wasting that time with that person that they're with because of a dumb cell phone. Let me give you a hint. There's an off button. Hit that every once in a while. It does wonders for your relationships in life, I can tell you that right now. But cell phones can become a time waster. The internet is a time waster. Entertainment parks can be time wasters. Stores and malls can become time wasters. Hey, because it's something, and I'm not saying all these things are wrong, but I'm saying when they're used out of their element, they become time wasters, and it wastes the time of something that once it's gone, you can never have it back. Now listen. What a shame that we would waste so much time on these time wasters. Listen, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does that word redeeming mean? Listen, I looked up the word redeeming. It comes with three definitions. That word redeeming means to buy up. It means to ransom. It means to rescue from loss. So in other words, what God is saying here when he says redeeming the time, he's saying right here, hey, buy up the time that you have. What's he mean by that? He means use the time that you have to its fullest. Why? Because you cannot don't turn me down too much. Give me just a little bit back. But use it to its fullest. He says, be careful now. He says, you have time. He says, now buy it up. Redeem the time. Buy up the time that you have. Use it to its fullest. Why? Because that time, once it's gone forever. So when God says, redeeming the time, he says, buy it up. Use it to its fullest. When he says, redeeming the time, he means to ransom the time. In other words, don't waste the time that you have, or don't lose it to the time wasters. That's what God's talking about. When you ransom something, you're capturing it from something that's trying to destroy it. Now, God says, be careful, Christian. He says, be careful in your life that you redeem the time. Capture the time that you have. Don't waste the time that you have. Why? Because that time is there and is gone. Don't let the time wasters waste the time that you have. So when God says redeeming the time, he says buy it up. That's what it's talking about. Use time to its fullest. He says, when he says redeeming the time, he means to ransom the time, or don't waste the time or lose it to the time wasters. When God says redeeming the time, that word redeeming means to rescue. In other words, use the time while you have it. Rescue that time. While you have time, you better use it. Why? Because the evil days are coming. And he says those evil days are the days that you won't have what you have right now. So you better be careful to use what you have to its fullest while you have it. Why? Because one day those evil days are going to come, and when they come, you're going to look back and say, boy, I wish I could have that again. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't use the time to its fullest while you have it, then you can't ever look back and say, boy, I'm glad I used that to its fullest extent. Listen, I come to you this morning, and I say to many of you this morning, I say, hey, we ought to redeem the time with our families. Why? Because you only have a family one time in life, and you're not going to always have your family. I'm talking to some parents this morning. Mom and Dad, hey, you better redeem the time with your children.
You better be careful. Why? Hey, those children are only in your house for so long. And you only have so many years with that child. Now, mom and dad, when you're with your children, don't waste your time with your children. Use that time wisely. Why? Because children grow up. And one day, you're going to want them back. And ladies and gentlemen, once they're grown up and once they're gone, you're going to wish, hey, I got news for you. Some of you men, or even some of you ladies, may be so involved in a job that you forget you have kids in that house. Now listen, that job isn't going to mean much, and that big house isn't going to mean much if you don't spend time with the kids that you have while you have them. We are so wrapped up in our society of possessions and money and car that the truth is the very elements that we have right with us that are precious, we waste that time because we're pursuing something that in the end of life, that something that we pursued means nothing in our life. Hey, redeem the time with your children, mom and dad. Don't waste that time. Hey, when you're at home, mom and dad, be at home with your children. Hey, children. Redeem the time with your parents. Why? Because you're not going to always have mom and dad. Huh? Let me talk to the children still in the house, and then I'll get to the children who are growing up. You children who are still in the house, you better enjoy the mom and dad while you have them. Because right now, what better time to give mom and dad your fullest time than while you're in the house? Let me help you out, teenager. Get your nose out of the video game and get to know your mama. Your mama is more important than some video game. And guys, your mama, you need to know, hey, one day you're going to want to hug your mama's neck, and that neck is not going to be there again, so you better enjoy the mama that you have right now. Why? That's redeeming the time. Hey, I'm talking to some of you, so hey, you gotta redeem the time with your daddy, children. Because you're not going to always, and by the way, if you have a mom and dad in the same house and you're being raised in where it's not a single parent home and you have both mom and dad, you better enjoy that time because you're a rarity in this society. Now, all I'm saying is, hey, you better enjoy mom and dad. Why? Because they're not going to always be there. One day, I know teenagers, I know what you're thinking right now. Well, I can't wait till I get out of the house. Yeah, you get out of the house, then you're going to want to be back by mom and dad. But now, you wasted all those years running. And I'm not against you running around with your friends, but let me tell you something. Your best friends while growing up ought to be your daddy and your mama. You better learn to redeem the time while you have them right there. Because, hey, we just don't know that day when mom and dad are going to be gone. I come to you grown children. Hey, redeem the time with your mom and dad. Hey, you know, it would hurt some of you to call your parents once a week. Why? Because you have mom and dad still alive. If your parents are still alive, you better enjoy it and talk to them, everyone. Hey, don't get so wrapped up in your agenda of life that one day you're going to come by, see him in a casket, and you're going to say, boy, I wish I'd have called mom and dad more often. Well, you better do it while they're alive. I'm sure in a crowd of this size, some of you, your parents, are already gone on. I'm sure some of your parents have gone to their reward, but you listen to me, and those whose moms and dads have gone, they know what I'm talking about. They're probably nodding their head inside their heart and saying, yeah, that preacher's right. Yeah, Brother Dominic's right. You better enjoy mom and dad while they're still alive. Now, I've got news for you. Far too many times, we get so wrapped up in our agenda, we forget to spend time with our parents. You say, but Brother Dominic, they live a long ways from me. Well, we live in a day of a telephone called up. Hey, write them a note every once in a while. What? Redeem the time with mom and dad while you have them. Every week, certain day of the week, my mom knows I can call her up anytime. At that one time. Now, she can call me anytime, but we have one time a week that we always talk, always. She knows it. When I call at that time, she always knows. She doesn't have to say. She knows who's calling at that very moment without caller ID. She knows it. Because I call the same time, right when I'm going to the airport, I always call her. She knows it's me. Now, she knows she can always talk to me at that time. Now, listen to me. I'm not going to let something take that away. Why? Because I only have one mama. And I want that time with my mom to be precious time because I want to be able to look back one day and not have regrets and say, boy, I wish I'd have spent more time with my mama. And by the way, I write my dad a letter every week. Every week, he and I, we write each other. Now, we write letters to each other. Now, listen to me. Why? Because while I have my parents, I want to redeem the time because I've just watched too many people when mom and dad are gone saying, boy, I wish I had spent more time with mom and dad. Hey, give them the time while you have them. Redeem the time with your family. Hey, brothers and sisters, redeem the time while you have a brother and sister. You say, but my brother's a jerk. I don't care how big of a jerk he is, he's still your brother. You say, but my sister, you don't understand my sister. But she's your sister. Now listen, we only have one family, ladies and gentlemen. And you better learn to redeem time with your family. Hey, you know, if you're a good Christian, you can learn to nurture that relationship. Even though a sibling may be a jerk, you can learn to nurture a relationship so that you both can learn to get along with each other. You may have opposite views on how you believe about things, but you better still learn to get along. Why? You only have one, you only have a few brothers, or you only have a few sisters. Now enjoy the time that you have with family. Hey, husbands and wives, redeem the time with each other. You husbands, hey, when you're with your wife, you better enjoy it. And ladies, when you're with your husband, you better enjoy it. You don't want to hurt husbands and wives, sit down and talk to each other every once in a while. Why? Because one day your mate may pass away and you'll be sitting in a house all by yourself. And you're going to wish when that day comes, all of a sudden you're going to say, boy, I wish I could spend more time. Oh, I know of a couple recently that one of the partners just passed away. And they were always, when I'd get around them, they were always one of these type of couples. They were always on each other's case. It's amazing. After the one side died, just a couple weeks later, that one called up my wife and said to her, she says, boy, I sure do miss my husband. She says, I sure do miss him. Now, why? Because what happened was, he's gone right now. Oh, they acted like they didn't get along and they kind of fussed, but now they're gone. Now she misses them. She misses that voice. She misses that presence. Now, husbands and wives, redeem the time while you're together. Why? Because you're not going to always have time together. I come, hey, I say to the families, redeem the time with your families. But may I also say, redeem the time with your church. While you're at church, get everything from church that you can. Hey, enjoy church while you have it. Listen, when you hear a sermon preached, get everything from that sermon that you can get. Sit there like a dry sponge that's ready to soak up something so it can help you inside of life. When the man of God stands up and preaches, get everything from that sermon. Why? Because one day you're going to need that truth. Hey, redeem the time with your pastor, church people. You've got a good man of God. Now, you better enjoy your time while you have him. Hey, redeem the time, church. And may I say, you better enjoy every time someone walks down the aisle and gets saved, and every time somebody gets baptized in this baptistry. Don't take it for granted that people get saved, and don't take it for granted that people get baptized. Listen, I travel this country. I've preached in 49 of the 50 states. I've been to foreign countries. I preach all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you, I go to churches. I see people walk down the aisle every week, but every time somebody gets saved, I sit there and I watch it with amazement that, hey, somebody got saved. Why? Because one day, I don't want to ever come that one day that no one ever gets saved. And I say, well, I wish I could have it again. You better enjoy it while you have it. That's what God says. Redeem the time. I used to be on staff at a church out in Indiana for several years. I'm in the ministry of a preacher by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Jack Hiles, your pastor knows what I'm talking about, was one. He was our hero. He had built the largest independent fundamental Baptist church in the world. We ran every Sunday. Oh, I imagine we ran anywhere between 15,000 to 25,000 every Sunday morning. It was a large church. We'd see hundreds of people saved every Sunday. I remember I'd sit there, and when he'd walk on that platform, I'd watch everything he do. I studied him. I learned from him. I wanted everything I could because I realized he was an older man. I realized one day I wasn't going to have him. I remember the day he died. I remember when he died, oh, my heart was broken, and I still miss him. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I never look back and say, boy, I wish I'd listened more to him, because every time I was in his presence, I listened to him. Every time he preached, I grabbed everything I could while he's preaching. When I saw the people walking down the aisles and getting saved, I enjoyed that time. I studied it. I relished it. Why? Because I wanted to redeem the time while I had it. Because you know as well as I do, there's churches out in this country, they hardly see anybody saved. They hardly see anybody baptized. Now, hey, redeem the time while you have it. Redeem the time with your job. He say, my job? Yeah. You better enjoy having a job while you have a job. Because you don't know when the pink slip is going to come. You don't know when all of a sudden what your company produces may no longer be used, and you may lose a job, and you may have a good paying job. Now may I say to you, while you have that job, enjoy that job while you have it. Stop complaining about it and stop griping about it and stop saying, well, I wish they'd just give us more. Hey, redeem the time. Hey, while you even have energy and health to work, enjoy being able to work. You may get paralyzed someday, and one day you may be sitting in a wheelchair and say, well, I wish I could go back to work again. But you know what? It's too late now. Why? Because you didn't redeem the time while you had it. Hey, while you have time, redeem it. Why? Because we only have it once in life. Redeem the time with your health. Say, my health? Yeah. Let me explain. While you have health, enjoy it. Let me help you out, teenager. Stop sitting around the house, getting fat and sassy, and use your health and enjoy life. You know, there's something called a bicycle. You could ride it every once in a while. Oh, I know, gas, boy, this is terrible. You may have to exercise. You may actually have to extend some energy. But you know, that'd be good for you. Enjoy health while you have it. Hey, one day you may have an oxygen tank you have to carry around, and you won't be able to ride a bike again. Huh? One day you may have a disease, a crippling disease that'll put you inside of a wheelchair. Now, if you can walk, enjoy your legs. Enjoy the health. Enjoy your eyesight. Enjoy the sound. Hey, enjoy the health while you have it. What? The evil days will come. Now, enjoy it. Redeem the time of your health while you have your health. May I say to those who are in school, redeem the time of your education while you're getting your education. Hey, get everything out of your education that you will. He said, Brother Dominic, I hate school. I know we're coming upon the school year, but you listen to me, young person. Listen, teenager. Listen, child. I don't care how much you hate school. You better learn everything while you're in school, because one day you're going to come upon something and say, boy, I wish I'd have listened when that teacher was teaching that. Now, why don't you give your full attention while they're teaching so you never have to say, boy, I wish I'd have learned that. I wish I'd have listened while they're teaching that. Why? Redeem the time. I say redeem the time with your finances. Use whatever finances you have wisely while you have the finances. Hey, enjoy every minute and make sure that you use what you have to its fullest. Now you say, preacher, if I'm to redeem the time with these, then how do I redeem the time? Listen carefully. First of all, live by schedule. What do you mean? Let me explain. The biggest reason that you lose time in life is because you have no schedule to tell you what to do. Huh? Listen, let me explain. Your schedule needs to become your boss. Huh? Your schedule, so if I was to ask you, what's your schedule? How do you schedule your time? Listen, I promise you, I live a very scheduled life. My wife can tell you, I get up the same time every day. I go to bed the same time every night. I eat the same time every day. I'm very scheduled inside my life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to learn to become scheduled in your life. Hey, you need to learn to schedule time with family and schedule time to be in church and schedule time to read your Bible and schedule time to be with friends and schedule time to go soul winning and schedule time to serve God and schedule time to enjoy some of the hobbies of life and schedule time to go on vacation and schedule time time on your day off. Ladies and gentlemen, your schedule needs to become your boss. You show me people that don't live by schedule. I show you people that don't succeed too well in life. Why? Because they don't live by schedule. They waste time, and they waste time, and they waste time. Hey, stop wasting time and learn to redeem your time. How? Live by a schedule. What time do you eat every day? And what's the time that you eat? By the way, men, if you schedule a time to eat and your wife prepares a meal for that time, get home. Get home. Now, you said you was going to be home at that time. That's part of your schedule. Now, if something conflicts with that time, don't do it what's conflict with that time and get home and do what your schedule tells you to do. How do I redeem the time, preacher? I said, one, schedule your time. Second, give your full attention to the task at hand. Give your full attention to the task at hand. Listen. Don't worry about the next task until that task comes. Let me tell you what some people do. Some people, okay, I'll give you a great illustration. Some of you scheduled time to be in church this morning, but right now, while I'm talking to you, you're thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon. Huh? Now, we can pass that same illustration on to other areas of life. You're at the meal eating with the family, but you're already thinking about what you're going to do after you're done with the meal. Now enjoy the meal with the family. You know, you don't have to wolf down that food. You can enjoy the food. You can taste those green beans with bacon grease inside of it. That's the only way to eat green beans. Hey! Enjoy the meal and enjoy the company you have at the table. Why? Give yourself fully to what you're doing right now. Hey, while you're in church, give your full attention to this sermon right now. Why? Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Why do people get in accidents? They don't give the full attention to what they're doing. They're thinking about something else. She's looking at the grocery list. He's talking on the cell phone. He's reading the mail. She's fighting with the kids, and you're not giving your full attention. And ladies and gentlemen, you start doing that in life. You don't give your full attention to what you're doing. And I got news for you. Hey, you will get in an accident in life that will destroy not just a car, maybe injure your body a little bit. It could destroy your future if you're not careful. Give your full attention to whatever you do in life. When you're on the job, give your full attention to that job. Paul said in Philippians, he says, this one thing I do. What is he saying? He says, hey, I'm not going to try to do two and three things at one time. I'm just going to take one thing. I'll do it right now. When I'm done with this, I'll move on to the next thing. Now, that's what you ought to do in life. You ought to say, I want to do one thing right now. I'm going to give my full attention to that one thing. When that's done, I'll go to the next thing. My wife knows. I'll be doing something, and she'll start talking to me. You know, man, you know how we are. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. And she says, honey, I'm talking to you. I said, honey, I'm busy right now. You have to understand. He goes, well, honey, I can do this and this and this. I said, but honey, you're a blonde. I said, blondes can do a lot of things at one time because I said, you know, they're blonde. I said, you have to understand that. But I said, the rest of us, I said, it's intelligent folk. We got to do, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that. But no, I said, you got to understand. I said, I give my full attention. When my wife has my attention, she has my full attention. But when I'm doing something else, I don't concentrate. Why? Because I give my attention to what I'm doing at that moment right there. When I'm spending time with my daughter, I spend time with my daughter. You know, when I'm eating at the table and the phone rings, you know what I do? I don't answer it. Why? Because I'm eating. You say, what happens if it's important? It'll be important and they'll call you back. Are you with me so far? Slap your neighbor and act like you're awake out there. Hey, I'm not telling you something that's revolutionary, but ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is true, and the problem in our society today is we don't get, there's so many things that are constantly trying to grab our attention from what we're doing, and we're losing what we have right there in front of us. Hey, if it's right there, give your full attention to it. When it's time to read the Bible, read the Bible. When it's time to go on a date with your husband or wife, be on that date and leave the cell phone at home.
What about the kids?
Oh, they'll be fine.
You say, is that babysitter going to be able to handle them?
Don't worry about the babysitter. You can worry about that when you get home. You just enjoy your time. See, if I'm going to redeem the time, I must live by schedule, but not only must I live by schedule, while I'm living by schedule, I cannot let other things take my attention away. I must give my full attention to the task at hand. But let me say, if I'm going to redeem the time, don't let the unscheduled take you away from the scheduled. I promise you. You start working by a desk that has a computer. You do some work there. It's so easy to what? Jump on the internet. And before long, what's happening? You're wasting the time that you have right there that you could do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against you getting on the internet if you're getting on for the right purposes. But when you get on, schedule the time to get on and schedule the time to get off. You say, Brother Donovan, that just sounds too mechanical. I've got news for you. That mechanical type of thinking will keep you from a lot of heartache and will keep you from a lot of regret. When you learn that time wasters are going to, hey, they rob time and they never give it back. That video game or that internet game, it will never give you the time back that you could use with those inside the house. Why do I redeem the time? He tells us. He says, redeeming the time because of what? The days are what? Evil. He said, ladies and gentlemen, he was teaching us. He says, hey, you better be careful now. One day, the evil days come. While you have family, enjoy, because one day you're not going to have family. One day you're going to go to a casket, and the family's going to be gone, and then you're going to say, boy, I wish I'd have given my full attention. Well, you should have thought about that while you had them. One of these days, mom and dad, your children are going to graduate from high school. They're going to walk out that door and go to college. And then, mama, you're going to say, boy, I wish I'd give them more time. Or, daddy, you're going to say, I wish I'd give them more time. Well, while you have them, you better give it. Because when they walk out, you're going to wish you could have that time back. Having a six-figure income is not as important as it is enjoying what you have in life. I've watched people get 6- and 7-figure incomes and are miserable. Why? Because they never had time for what they had. They have the money, they have the success, but they didn't enjoy the time that they had with their own family members. Let me just say this. When the evil days come, and I got news for you, it's going to come. When the evil days come, let me give you 4 things to do. One, remember the time you used to have. When you lose what you have because the evil days have now come, I want you to go back to those days that you did have and remember them, the good days. That's why it's important that while the evil days are not there, you make good days while you have those days. So that when those days are gone, you have a memory of the good days. But second, when the evil days come, there's still something you can enjoy in today. Hey, the kids move out of the house? Hey, you're on the honeymoon again. Huh? You don't have to worry about the kids. Hey, you don't have to worry about the kids nickel and diming you to death. Hey, you can do what you want to without having to worry about, well, who's going to pick up the kids? No, they're gone. Hey, so enjoy the days you have. Your health may be going from you, ladies and gentlemen. You may start losing your health, but there's still something good inside of life that you can enjoy as long as you're breathing air, you're sucking air on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find something to rejoice in. When the evil days come, don't become negative and bitter. Why? Because you did have your good days. Don't start dwelling at the evil days. Remember the good days that you had on. And remember, thank God I did have some good days. I like what Job said. When the evil days came to his life, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the what? Of the Lord. He said, hey, I had my good time. He said, I had my family. I had my wealth. He said, I've enjoyed my good life. Now he says, I'm not going to let the evil days destroy my attitude. But when the evil days come, may I say to those who are maybe living in the evil days right now, look to the day that all the evil days will be gone. You say, what's that? It's heaven. It's heaven. Hey, there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no more doctors. There's coming a day, there'll be no glasses to have to wear. There's coming a day, there'll be no oxygen tanks to have to carry around. There's coming a day, there'll be no caskets that we'll have to visit. There's coming a day, we'll never have to worry about finances again. There's coming a day where there'll be no trials that we have to bear inside of life. There's coming a day, there'll be no heartache of family that are breaking our heart. No, there's coming a day when there'll be no evil days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the evil days now, look ahead and say, thank God, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know one thing. Thank God, there's coming a day that I can walk on streets of gold. I can see the mansions of heaven. I can walk with God himself. Why? Because those evil days will be gone. And thank God that day will come. And when it comes, it'll be a blessed time. But let me say to those of you who aren't saved this morning, if you're not saved this morning, you can't look to those days when the evil days are no longer going to be there because you're not saved. The only way you can look ahead to when there's not going to be another evil day in your life is if you're saved. So how do I get saved? One, realize you're a sinner. Everybody has sinned. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. Realize your sin will send you to hell. Realize that because I said there's a punishment on sin, that punishment is death and a place called hell. But remember that Jesus Christ died and paid for these sins. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm a sinner, I'm headed to hell. I need someone to ransom me. Jesus paid that ransom price with his blood and his life. He died, was buried, he rose again and conquered death so you and I could go to heaven. Now all you have to do to be able to look to one day where you can say there's not going to be any evil days. All you have to do is realize you cannot save yourself and that only Jesus can save you. And sometime in your life, you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And the very split second you put your trust in Christ to be your Savior, you'll be saved. That simple. That simple. Not join this church. Not get baptized. Not take the ordinances of some religion. No. Put your trust in Jesus and him alone as a sacrifice for your sins. The very second you do that, you can look forward to a day when there will be no evil days. But until then, I come to you Christians this morning. I'm talking to many of you. We all have to constantly guard ourselves that we don't take for granted what we have right now. Redeem the time that you have right now. Why? Because there's some things money cannot buy. And once those things are gone, there is no amount of money that can bring it back. Enjoy it while you have it, because it's a precious commodity. Once that time is gone, you can never have it again. So I advise you this morning, if you're saved this morning, in just a couple minutes, we're going to give an invitation. I'd advise you to leave your seat, come down, kneel down to this altar, and say, God, what I'm going to do this morning is this. I'm going to stop wasting the time that I want to give my fullest attention to what I have. Start living by schedule. Go home. Schedule your life. Let your schedule be your boss. Let your schedule tell you what you're going to do. Redeem the time. If you're not saved this morning, I'd invite you to come and meet the Savior. put your trust in Him to be your Savior. Father, thank you for these dear people. I thank you for some people this morning, God, that the truth is, every one of us, if we could only learn, we better enjoy what we have while we have it, because one day it will be gone. May we not take for granted what we have. May we not just let it slip by inside of life. May we enjoy the moms and dads, the brothers, the sisters, the family that we have, the church that we have, the job that we have, the health that we have. God, help us to redeem that time. The evil days are going to come when we won't have those things. So may we do everything with the time that we have right now with those things, that we do not regret it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one's looking. I wonder who's in here this morning. You say, Brother Domley, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I'll be very honest with you. God spoke to my heart this morning. I needed that reminder. I need to be reminded to take full advantage of the things that I have, redeem the time that I have with what I have right now. Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. If you like that, would you slip your hand way up high all over the auditorium? I see hands everywhere. Everywhere, hands are raised. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I ask you another question this morning. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, Preacher, I don't know that. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure that if I died this very second, my next breath would be in heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip up your hand real high so I can pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I see that hand right there. Someone else. I'm not sure if I died today, I go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Who else is it? Just slip your hand up high and say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I go to heaven. Pray for me, Preacher. Just slip it up high until I see it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? If you just raised your hand right now and said, I'm not sure that I'm saved, you've already heard the gospel. You've already heard how to get saved. You have to acknowledge your sins will send you to hell. But you also have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. And right there in your seat, you can take this moment to trust Christ. If you'd like to do that, won't you just pray this prayer in your heart to God right now, meaning with your heart. Say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know as a sinner I deserve hell. But right now, I ask you to be the payment for my sin. I accept your sacrifice on the cross to be the sacrifice for my sins. I put my trust and faith in thee to be my Savior from all of my sins. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer quietly in your heart and said, right now, I just pray and ask Jesus to save me from my sins. Would you just slip up your hand so I can see your hand? I won't embarrass you. God bless you. Someone else? Anyone else? I just prayed that prayer in my seat right now. I just asked Jesus to be my Savior for my sins. Anyone else? Anyone else? In just a moment, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand to our feet in just a couple seconds. When I'm done praying, we'll stand, heads be bowed, eyes be closed. The music will begin to play. When you hear the instruments begin to play, I want you to leave your seat. If God spoke to your heart and you're saved, I want you to leave your seat, go to the nearest aisle, come down, kneel down at this altar, and get some things right with God, what He spoke to you about this morning. If you raised your hand this morning and said, I just prayed that prayer and accepted Christ my Savior, would you come meet me or the pastor at the front and let us explain this decision to you? Whatever your need is, you take care of it this morning. Father, you know the needs. I pray that you bless this invitation time for those who are saved. I pray they'd find themselves down at this altar here in this invitation. That God, they leave their seat, they'd come down and decide, redeem the time. Redeem the time of what we have together. May we not miss it. May we not lose it. May we grab everything we can from what we have right now. For this one or two that raised their hand for salvation and they've accepted you this morning, I pray today they would come and get that settled. Once and for all, they let us know this decision they made. Bless this invitation, I pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everyone standing to their feet. No one is looking around. The music begins to play. Right now, as the music begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, I want you to leave your seat. You go in their style. You come. Let's do some business with God. Come on, that's it. Come on, just step out. That's it. That's it. You raise your hand. Say, God spoke to my heart. Just step out. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you.
God's speaking to your heart. You need to come. You come. Whatever your need is, you come. You come. Others should come for other decisions. Whatever your need is, you take care of it this morning. You take care of it. I promise you, there are so many things out there that are time wasters. You elderly saints know what I'm talking about. You've seen it in your life. You're at the end of you're towards the end of your life, and you know there's so many things that waste our time. You know, you get to the end of your life, you start looking back at the things that waste your time in your life, and boy, those things become evil to you, don't they? Because they wasted your time. They took something from you that truthfully, if you'd have just avoided at that moment and given your full attention to, you know what? You wouldn't have had to worry about it. Wouldn't have had to worry about it. I'm saying to everyone right now, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Buy that time. Don't waste it. Use it to its fullest. Hey, don't let it slip by. You take whatever you have in life. Hey, go home this afternoon if you have a day off and enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy it. Realize when you sit around that table for lunch today, it's not going to always be that way. One day, someone's going to be gone, whether by death, whether they go to college, and you're not going to have it exactly. So you better enjoy the time that you have right now. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Redeem that time. Use it to its fullest. The music continues to play. If God spoke to your heart, you come. God bless you. Look this way, would you please? We've got folks come today. They're going to get baptized. And we thank the Lord for their decisions. You know what? You know what breaks a heart? I'm going soul winning this week and giving the man the gospel.